Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I'm thrilled that mega-selling British author Richard Osman is here with us this morning. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Oliver. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm thrilled that you're here and also thrilled because I can finally talk about this new novel that I've had for a while but have been barred from discussing.
Quite right.
We Solve Murders. It was delivered to us basically under cover of darkness with a code word and it was limited and numbered. Is this kind of the new world you're in now? Your life is like the plot of a twisty story itself.
Yes, very much so. I feel like I'm an MI6 officer. when you get beyond a certain level in the book world, you do essentially become a member of the security services.
Yeah, this actually really happened to you. I think you said this in the podcast recently, didn't you? That you were almost recruited by MI6.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was, and then they put me through my paces, and I think they thought this guy would be absolutely terrible. I don't think he cares enough about the cause. And he's too tall to hide. So I think they very quickly worked out.
You stood up at the meeting. Is that what happened?
Yes, and they were not this guy. No, this guy, we're never going to be able to hide this guy in a boot.
Listen, the Thursday Murder Club, massive success. They're on a little nap, aren't they? A little hiatus.
They're having a little year off because I put them through quite a lot in the last book. So they've got a year of R&R, and they'll be back in 2025.
And We Solve Murders, the whole new series. How much are you saying about it?
I'll say anything about it, really. I wanted to write a whole new series because, you know, this is my job now for the next 20 years. I just, you know, I want to write about new worlds, introduce new characters to people, have new characters who people fall in love with. And this is a group. There's a father-in-law who was an ex-cop who just wants a quiet life in his little sleepy Hampshire village. His daughter-in-law, who is a bodyguard for billionaires, who spends her life on private islands and private jets. And her client, who is the world's best-selling author, Rosie D'Antonio, who's like a Jackie Collins of crime.
Yes.
And it's essentially the three of them trying to stay ahead of a killer whilst trying to catch that killer. So it's a really lovely kind of globe-trotting world with these three very different characters, all of whom have very different needs and wants, but hopefully, again, characters and a world that people will fall in love with.
Okay, I'm delighted we could talk about Rosie D'Antonio. Kind of Barbara Cartland meets Jackie Collins, but able to run around. I don't know if they were.
Yes, exactly. She spent a lot of time with the sort of Jack Nicholson's and Burt Reynolds of this world. Absolutely indeterminate age. No one can quite work out how old she is, but still impossibly glamorous.
And caught in crossfires often, but she'll still find a way to put on her makeup. I love it.
100% that, yes. Always glamorously on the run.
Glamorously on the run. That's it. So she's loads of fun. Steve Wheeler, he's also a great crack as well. I mean, he's widowed. He's a Van Halen fan. Funny outlook in life. Retired detective.
Yes, all he wants in the world is to stay at home. Like, he's really based on me, Steve. I was just thinking, I want to do a book where we travel around the world a bit more. So I don't do that with Thursday Murder Club. And I thought, well, who would it be fun to send around the world? And I thought, well, someone who doesn't want to go around the world. All Steve wants to do is go home to Hampshire, to his cat, to his pub quiz, to the snooker. It's all he wants to do. But he's forced into this sort of this cat and mouse flight around the world to help his beloved daughter-in-law, Amy.
And he has a cat, like you do.
He has a cat called Trouble. Yeah, exactly that. And who is waiting patiently at home for him.
A brilliant cat and a lovely device that you have there. You obviously are you're a cat lover over the dogs. You've decided that now as well.
Listen, I love both. Don't get me wrong.
That's a lie.
Absolutely equal opportunities. But we have a cat. We have Liesl at home. We've literally just got a kitten called Lottie who just took up residence yesterday. So she's currently locked away from Liesl. She is literally not stopped purring since the moment
two
we
cats.
Got her home.
It's a well-known left-leaning bias, having two cats in the house.
Exactly that.
One of the sweetest things about Steve is there's a fantastic device in the story where he talks to his wife who's passed away, and it's very moving.
Well, I think I've got this father-in-law and daughter-in-law, and I'm interested in this idea of we find our own families sometimes. And Amy, the daughter-in-law, grew up in the care system. Steve, as he says, recently widowed, and so both of them sort of lean on each other, and they never say that they do, and it would never be acknowledged, but they both need each other, and they both love each other very much and look after each other. And I love those things that are never spoken sometimes about, you know, people, they're not related by blood, you know, they came into each other's lives, but they are incredibly important to each other. And we've all got relationships like that. People we know have got our back and we've got their back. And that's what I wanted the two of them to have.
That is really nicely done. Do you have someone dear to you who has passed away that you chat to still?
Yeah, I think so. I often, you know, run, we've all got a wise council of elders in our head, haven't we? And then, you know, we suddenly talk to them and then we realise one of them has not been with us for 20 years. You think, well, I'm still talking to you, Granddad. So, you know, I'm still taking advice. And that, but, you know, that's when we do lose people. And there's this, you know, the kind of maxim that, you know, no one really dies when they're in our minds. But there's a lot of truth in it because people we loved still give us great advice and still, you know, influence our personalities and our choices and our decisions. So, you know, that people do live through us.
You're almost as famous for doing a service to grief as anything else, but it is another lovely comedy, We Solve Murders. And I'm interested in how much of your inner monologues to yourself end up in your work, because there are great observations about influencers, about people who end up on GB News, the action movie actor. You have a savage eye towards some of these people.
Yeah, I hope so. I try and write about the world as it is. I love to do that. I'm constantly interested in what's new and, as you say, you know, films and TV, what's happening in the world. And so I love to write about it. You know, I want to write a story that makes people laugh and makes people cry and is about love and is about warmth, but I like to write about the world as it is as well. And so, yeah, I get to anything that interested me yesterday, I write about tomorrow. Always. I always put everything I can in the book because I want to make them feel like they're current and I want to make them feel that they're really happening and they're really, really true. But it's, I love everything comes through character. Everything comes through characters that we love. But, yeah, I mean, I've got the character Max Highfield, who's a sort of Jason Statham type actor in this book. And it's just, isn't he part of the story and part of the plot? But just writing him is just the greatest joy.
The threads throughout the story with different characters watching the movies is very, very well done. And you're married to an actor. So I presume you got some nice observations there from vacuous, starry types in the movies.
Certainly, yeah. I've been around actors a lot, I'll say that. But none of her friends, I would say, are quite as bad as Max Highfield. But you certainly hear stories of people who are.
Yeah, hopefully not. There's a special place in the Richard Osman Hell for influencers, but there's a bit of pity as well.
Oh my goodness, yeah, absolutely. I find the influencers world fascinating because it's a way for people to sort of, you know, it's a really great way for young working class people to make a lot of money in a way they would not have been allowed to 10 or 20 years ago. You know, it's a way of getting rid of all the middlemen in between you and an advertiser and, you know, making money and really following your dreams. So I absolutely get that. But it's also a place where you can pretend to be something you're not. And, you know, you could tell someone you're an influencer. One of the things in this story is there's an influencer, but they've got like 18,000 followers. And everyone's like, well, are you an influencer with 18,000 followers? Is that enough? And it's sort of quite a key plot point. But that world I find absolutely fascinating. The economics of that world I find fascinating. And it really lends itself to a murder mystery plot.
It really does. There is a feature in the body count. That's not really a spoiler. And you have lovely, you have pity for them as well, which I was very curious about.
Well, I do with everyone. I never write a character I don't, you know, everyone, I always say serial killers go to the dentist too. I always, you have to try and, you can't just write someone who's one note or just all evil or all stupid or all, you know, everyone has to have something about them. And so I never, my starting point is never who's this idiot.
Location's very important in this story, and delighted to say for Irish fans of yours that the story comes to Ireland.
Yeah, I was so thrilled with that. I was thinking of places around the world to write it, and by and large I've written it in places that I've been to, so I didn't have to go and do more research. But, you know, I love Ireland so much. I always get so well treated over there, and people have always been so lovely about the books. So I think, well, where could we go? And I just thought, let's go to Ireland. You want to go somewhere beautiful. You want to go somewhere with incredible people. You want to go somewhere that you want to write about. So, yeah, they fly into to Dublin. There is trouble at the airport, as so often. And then down to Cork as well. So, yeah, we're in. There's an Irish TV breakfast show. So there's
in RTE.
Yes, exactly.
In this organisation. It's a fantasy because we don't have a breakfast television show.
No,
but it is. It's very. And there's a character called Ryan who's very attractive. So presumably nobody who ever actually worked here.
No, listen. I just chose a name at random. As I so often do. But honestly, that's the lovely thing about this. I can't do with the Thursday Murder Club so much. I can go around the world and just the joy. You know, when you just, it was so lovely to write about Dublin and just write about the people there. And you just, when you go to a different country, you know you're going to have a slightly different vibe to your plot. You know that the people around you are going to have a slightly different vibe. And so, you know, you just, it was just, I loved writing about it. I'm looking forward to talking to Irish readers about it.
That is great fun for us, for these chaotic characters coming in and visiting two locations in Ireland, because we get a brief mention. By the way, Temple Bar is mentioned. Have you been to Temple Bar? Do you have a view on it?
I think I've been to Temple Bar. Whether I have slightly hazy memories of it, I suspect. But I've had many fun evenings in Dublin, but I'm not sure where the border of Temple Bar and the rest of Dublin would begin and end.
You had a time you will never ever remember, basically. That's how good it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great, though, because we're always curious about the Brits, because they do tend to ignore us almost as much as I suppose America ignores Britain. So thank you for that personally.
And
okay, great. That is tremendous fun, and it's good to see it, especially for such a globally best-selling novel that's coming here. The Thursday Murder Club series, it is an unbelievable... The success is kind of ridiculous, almost greedy, I would say, Richard Osman, at this stage.
I'm so sorry. I should probably I should probably give it up. You know, you're right. I'm going to stop.
If the fifth novel was crap, we would have kind of a sigh of relief when he's done now. But unfortunately, this is a whole new exciting series that's begun. But it's being turned into a movie, and obviously, this is stuff of dreams. I don't know if you're a huge movie fan. You seem to be interested in all entertainment forms.
Yeah, I do. I love movies. I mean, it's an interesting one because, you know, I know enough about that world to know that it's not something I should get involved in. So I've handed it over entirely to Spielberg's company and brilliant Chris Columbus, who's directing, and they are doing their vision of what the Thursday Murder Club is. And I stay out because a film and a book are such different things, and I always feel my job is write the next book. But it's great going down to set and just kind of hanging out and watching and, you know, just... You're always sort of tempted to sort of give your opinion, but you think, no, that honestly, the last thing they want is your opinion. It's really hard to make a film, and they really don't want the writer. And then otherwise, they've got to spend the next 2 hours sort of just dealing with your ego. So I sit there, I watch, I revel in the professionalism and the incredible actors and the incredible director. It's very enjoyable.
You're comfortably hands off in this particular.
Yes. Absolutely. I said to them right at the beginning, I'm going to be completely hands off. And I could tell they didn't believe me. As the months have gone by, I think they trust me a bit more that I'm leaving my baby in their hands.
So you've told Steven Spielberg, look, Steven, I won't be meddling in the...
yeah,
I said, very generous of you.
Big Steve, if you ever need advice, you've got my email. But, you know, otherwise you won't hear from me.
Chris Columbus, I know you've done a couple of Harry Potter films, but he's off on this one.
If you need help with some of these shots, he is the loveliest man in the world, Chris Columbus.
Is he?
Quite how you can be that successful and remain such a nice human being. I don't know. I love him to bits.
Extraordinary stuff. And the cast is also ridiculous. Again, a bit greedy on your part again, because it's just everybody.
Absolutely crazy. I was there the other day and just chatting to Pierce Brosnan, who is the single most handsome man in the world. I find it quite hard to be in his presence.
Irish Pierce Brosnan, of course. It's his Irishness that makes him attractive. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it really, really does. And plus his attractiveness also helps.
That's good. Symmetry.
It's amazing. And Sir Ben Kingsley and Helen Mirren and Celia Imrie. It's amazing. David Tennant is in the cast. I mean, everywhere you look, you have to sort of, you know, slightly pinch yourself.
Jonathan Pratt. Richard E. Grant, he's only officially aboard the last few weeks. Is that true? Can you confirm it tonight?
Yes, Richard E. Grant is in it. He's playing the baddie. Danny Mays is in it. Naomi Ackie. Just loads of great British and Irish actors in there.
Well done. Yes, well, I make sure we'll be watching your British interviews and making sure you say Irish as well.
Yes, oh God, I will be. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, we live in constant fear.
I had to say to Chris Columbus, said, I think this is the best British cast ever assembled. I had to say to him, just a word about Pierce.
Yeah,
and he was like, okay.
The greatest British cast and Pierce Brosnan. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We live in constant fear of the Brits claiming our actors and our athletes and so on. And we get angry about it, but you still don't notice. But anyway, we're not bitter at all. At all.
I feel bad because any time I see the Irish win a gold medal, there's a bit of me that thinks that if the GB are not going to win it, and I want the Irish to beat everyone else in the world, but it's I do. Oh my God, yes. Like when Dan Whiffen is winning the swimming, I was like, this guy I absolutely love.
Yes.
He was amazing. I loved him.
He has an un-Irish confidence about him that we absolutely love. He's just great. But that's good to know. And of course, it is typically left-leaning Irish bias among British voters.
Yeah.
David Nicholls, he was on with us recently. He told us, well, the hardest thing about having, you know, your book turn into film is, preparing for the things you love to be cut out and just getting used to that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you just have to accept it's an entirely different art form. And I'm fascinating with him because one day, I think the original film, I'm not sure how much of a fan he was of it, and then 10 years later they remake it, and I absolutely loved the Netflix adaptation that I think he's a bit more involved in. You have to it's a different art form. You have to let people get on and do it. And you know, I've already written the book, you know, that exists now forever and ever and ever, and you know, that story and those characters are there forever, and you know, other people are allowed to play in that sandpit, I think.
And when you were writing We Solve Murders, because obviously your life had changed dramatically since you started this one compared to the previous series, are you thinking in your head, are you seeing the film in your head, or are you trying to just write a novel that's impossible to film?
No, I would love to film it because, you know, it takes place in St. Lucia and South Carolina and Dubai and Dublin, so it'd be a lot of fun to film. I think you do slightly think about a movie or TV version of it. It never affects the writing of it, but certainly afterwards you do think this would be a nice role for somebody. But and also it would be, I mean, what an amazing filming experience that would be in all those
different
locations. I can't believe I didn't think of that before.
I was wondering, you see, did you try to make it as difficult as possible by having a vineyard in Cork and helicoptering?
Well, they do have them now.
It's
climate change, isn't it? It's Irish wines are very good now.
You'll be getting cases sent in your direction.
Right.
Your TV work we have to talk about as well. So you step back from Pointless, but you still do Pointless Celebrities, which again is back to the public figures you like to make fun of, who err on the side of vacuousness. And House of Games, you have loads of TV still going.
Well, Pointless Celebrities haven't filmed for a few years. I think some of them are still on air, but yeah, I haven't done Pointless for a long time. But House of Games, I love doing. We do like 100 of those a year. And I just love it because it's one of those shows that people can watch with their kids. And I just think there's fewer and fewer of those shows. You know, families watch it together. You know, I can get young comics who people haven't heard of, and I can put them on it. So it's a really lovely show. I get to play along with that show. I never know the answers. So you spend a day with these people. I love making the show, and I always think if you love making something, in the same way that if you loved writing something, then that comes across to people. So that show I will continue to do for as long as they ask me to do it. But everything else I've given up because there are not enough hours in the day, I'm afraid.
No, there aren't. You're on television all of the time. So some of them are reruns. Maybe I start to believe that you actually are in MI6 and that's how you're on television.
Listen, I couldn't possibly say.
Have you written your next thing then? How far into your...
No, I literally wrote the first page of notes 2 days ago for the next Thursday Murder Club book, which is coming out in 2025. So I've just started that process, just started to think about what it might be about, what could happen in their lives and stuff like that. But I'll start that in earnest in the next couple of weeks.
That's great. You've answered that question because you're going to be tormented about when is the next one happening. And then because people will now have We Solve Murders, they're going to be asking when is the next installment of this thing, if there is going to be.
Yeah, well, the plan is now. So we've got We Solve Murders now, Thursday Murder Club 2025, We Solve Murders 2026, Thursday Murder Club 2027. That's the next 4 years of releases. Not that my life is planned out for me, but that's my plan for the next four books.
It's planned out in between meetings with Pierce Brosnan to find out why exactly he is as handsome as he appears to be. Do you get time to read? Are you reading anything recently?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to, and that's the key. There's, you know, that's the, you're not, I don't think you should be allowed to write if you don't love reading.
Agreed.
Because it's,
yeah,
you know. I just finished, which I would recommend to everybody, absolutely loved it, Chris Whitaker's book, All the Colours of the Dark, which is great. So it's sort of what begins certainly in kind of 1980s America, and or maybe 1970s, yeah, 1970s America, and it's about, I can't tell you what it's about, but it's about these two young kids and they grow up and a crime happens and it sort of takes over their lives over the next kind of 20 years.
It's a huge epic. Yeah, it's a huge, huge novel.
But he's a really, really terrific writer. It's very human. It's very, you know, it's very, very readable. You keep turning the pages. So I would really, really recommend that.
Okay, fantastic recommendation. Thank you so much, Richard Osman. Enjoy what you're doing because you're doing a lot of it. And thanks a million for chatting to us today, because you really didn't have to, let's face it.
But, oh, my God, of course I do. It's my absolute pleasure. And I'll see you all in Ireland very soon.
And thank you very much for being our unofficial Irish ambassador over there for all Irish things, inserting Pierce Brosnan's Irishness into every conceivable conversation you have for the next few months. And enjoy everything. We Solve Murders is out now, published by Viking, and it's in every possible place where books live. Richard Osman, good day to you.
Thank you, sir.